Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. I think I know who I am today, but I might be wrong. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess. And today we have a lovely lady, Suzanne Taylor. Suzanne has a DVD out on the crop circles. Absolutely fascinating. She'll be giving you some information about it. I've looked at the whole DVD. I'm very impressed, and it's absolutely fascinating. Welcome to our show, Suzanne.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I love talking about this subject. It's my save the world subject, so, you know, what would be better than saving the world?
Well, that's pretty big order, and I'd be delighted to back you up on doing that because
I'm on it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm at a seminar today, a training session, so I don't have my prop notes in front of me, but I do have my memories of talking to Suzanne and the crop circles, but I'm going to ask Suzanne to really tell you something about herself and what she's done, and I guess we all have an absolute fascination with crop circles and their meanings, and do feel free to call in and ask questions. I think you all must have the phone number for BBS Radio, but let me give it to you so you can call in with your questions or stories. 1-888-815-9756. Okay? So, Suzanne, with that lengthy introduction, please tell us about yourself and how you got into this and what we are doing with this crop circle information these days.
Well, now you've invited me to talk for hours.
So you only got 1 hour.
You just be quiet, and I'll take over. No. So now where should we start? Now come on. Now where
yourself,
are we?
Who you are? Who you are, and how you got involved?
Well, I'm someone who's really interested in consciousness and in the state of the world and how we're kind of. Well, we all know now that the world is in real trouble. You know, it used to be sort of the rantings of a New Age lunatic to say that. But, of course, now, oh, my gosh, look what's going on. So this goes way, way, way back, my interest in, you know, how we could think differently. And all of the problems in the world we treat with fingers in the dike. But the truth is it's our belief system and our worldview that's holding all of them in place. And nobody really talks about that. Nobody talks about the fundamental shift that's necessary, where we become a caring humanity, where we're all in it together, rather than a competing humanity, where you know whoever has the most toys wins. That's a setup that's really ultimately guaranteed for breakdown. In fact, you know, I was involved once in a very high-minded. Worldwide conversation about the fundamental root cause of what they were calling the world problematique, what wasn't working in the world. And the root cause was the what they had came up with, and, you know, a lot of communication and voting and compiling, tabulating the results, was that the root cause of the unworkability of the world was the disparity between the rich and the poor. And that it was an absolutely a guaranteed situation in which the world would, you know, hit a wall. And indeed, look what's happened. But we're not dealing with that. You know, we maintain the same fundamental of this. There's nothing wrong with competition, but cutthroat competition is another thing. And the reason, so let me segue over to the crop circles and my film and, you know, why I'm so enthusiastic about the phenomenon, because if we really understood that we were one humanity, and the crop circles could bring that about, because if we accepted the fact that there is other intelligence, we would be one humanity in relation to the other. We would all be dealing together with something bigger than we are. Right now, there's nothing bigger than we are, so we get to freely destroy each other. But if we're all focused on something bigger than we are, it pulls us together, and it humbles us also, which would be very good for us. So that we would be, as I say, we'd be one humanity. And that's what we need to be to, you know, reverse this polarity that we're in now. We need to really, everybody needs to see that there's a higher good than just your individual success. we'll never give up our individual success. Of course we, you know, and of course there'll always be richer people and poorer people, but not to the point where the world falls apart.
Exactly. And I think the awareness that we are all one and that each of us is a different facet of the experiential process, which is what Earth is, of learning and experiencing each new nuance, I should say, of an aspect of our being is simply where the differences come in our eyes. But from that's the visible aspect of it. The invisible is that we are all one and that we are all working together towards the same goal. But
well,
some
again,
of us are more aware than others.
That used to be sort of New Age ranting. But,
mm-hmm.
you know,
but it's not.
But we all know we're in trouble now. And, you know,
yes.
I heard Larry King talking to Andrew Weil last week, I think, about the healthcare situation. And
mm-hmm.
he, too, was looking for root causes rather than the kind of surface moving the deck chairs on the Titanic, which is kind of what he said was the conversation right now about healthcare, whatever, Democrat, Republican, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's dealing with the root causes. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, and Larry King said, as Andrew Weil was suggesting, let's say, radical things like inexpensive homeopathic or natural kind of curative things that the
mm-hmm.
drug companies would not have any stake in. And Larry King was saying, oh, my God, that's such a, you know, I mean, that's so radical. And Andrew Weil said, right, right. That's what we need. We need to radically rethink what we're up to, you know.
Well, same thing
for everything,
yeah.
not just healthcare.
Right. Well, the same thing is true. For example, what I have a training today in is Jin-Shin Jitsu, self-help. Well, the root cause of all our misery is ourselves individually. Once we become aware and start healing within our own selves, then the healing begins to catch on and spreads to the community, you know, the family, the community, and then
absolutely.
So forth.
But
the individual acceptance of responsibility for one's health, one has to decide that one wants to be responsible for one's own health, not dump it on somebody else to take care of. And that's where the revolution, I would think, would come in, is to accept that we can be the change.
Well, Phyllis, I mean, you're absolutely right, of course. However, how long it takes for each of us to wake up, so to speak. It's a life work.
Absolutely.
It's several lifetimes.
As I
was embracing that, having been interested in all of this from way, way back from the Human Potential Movement and what have you, I produced all kinds of events and programs having to do with self-help and self-awareness and what have you. But when I discovered the circles, I thought, you know, this is the way to shift mass consciousness fast.
Also.
You know, if we accepted the fact that there's other intelligence engaging with us and we had, let's say, contact in headlines, the whole world would shift its fundamental stance, its fundamental perspective on our relationship to the universe. And that would really be the effective change to create a workable world. And so that's why I've kind of taken my energy off that individual self-help, or not self-help, but personal growth kinds of things, which, of course, we all have to be focused on. Everyone needs to be dealing with that. But the circles are another aspect where we...
Another dimension, shall we say, no pun intended.
Pardon me?
Another dimension, shall we say, no pun intended.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. That's where we can kind of act wholesale. You know, instead of all this individual work that will take, let's say, forever, we can move things quickly if we can deal with the fact that we are in a different juxtaposition to the intelligence of the universe.
Yes, I agree with it. And moving into that, there are crop circles, which I had not been aware of, but I guess I didn't think about it, really. All over the world, there are, 43 countries?
Give or take, you know, the count is a little bit uncertain, but we're something like 40 countries have had crop circles. They've been split in the last whatever years. About half occur of the total of each year. Half of them will be in England, and the other half will be spread between all those other countries.
Why so many in England, do you think? out of curiosity.
Yeah, you know, all speculation. You know, nobody's giving us the skinny on it all, so we all mm-hmm. have to speculate. But there's lots of, in fact, my film talks quite a bit about why England answers that question, deals with that question,
mm-hmm.
With the speculative answers, which there's a whole array of them. One of them being that England is absolutely loaded with ancient sites. You might call them sacred sites, things like Stonehenge.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big ones, Stonehenge and
mm-hmm.
Avebury. But you can hardly turn around without stumbling over an ancient burial mound or
mm-hmm.
places where rituals were held and what have you. The place is just full of, the whole landscape is, in fact, where the circles predominantly appear in England, is a manipulated landscape that includes Stonehenge and Avebury and several other sites, which seems to have been a whole kind of interrelated section of ancient sacred sites for ritual and celebration and what have you. And the circles all land juxtaposed to these sacred sites, which I would say, again, here we're speculating, but I would say that we're being called back to a previous kind of awareness when we mm-hmm. were connected to the earth, when we were feeling ourselves to be part of nature, which was the characteristic of these ancient ceremonies and understandings.
Mm-hmm.
We were not using nature, we were of nature. And
mm-hmm.
so the circle's being focused on a place that is a treasure trove of these kinds of sites seems very, you know, consistent with the whole situation there of if you were going to try to wake the world up and you were another intelligence,
mm-hmm.
what a lovely place to kind of plant your communications.
Mm-hmm. I see that too, but I'm thinking of what I know, which is not a whole heck of a lot, of history and ancient sacred sites is the Americas, which had many sacred sites, being part of Atlantis originally, at least on the East Coast division to the Mississippi. Why wouldn't there be, and the prairies that we have, which are wide open spaces, why wouldn't that be also open to be two crop circles? And I mentioned that I know that a lot of areas are forested, and that's going to be very hard to have a crop circle in the middle of a forest. But there are countries that do have open land. France comes to one, Germany, etc. And there are sacred sites throughout the world from ancient times, including Greece and the Persian areas too. But they don't seem to have so many circles. And I was going to
say
Egypt.
Well, you know, if you would do a comparison between England and all these other possibilities, there would
mm-hmm.
be other things that would enter in. First of all, it's a small country, and private planes are flying over it all the time. So
okay,
these things get spotted, you know. It's not a vast landscape like in the United States. And indeed,
mm-hmm.
by the way, the circles that come in the United States typically will come in near Indian burial grounds. I mean, same kind
okay.
of protocol of sacred sites all over the world. But England
mm-hmm.
is small. And again,
okay,
if you were wanting to have a landscape where your phenomenon
mm-hmm.
would be discovered and would be able to be tracked, well, a small area would do you better than the vast landscape of the States, where also there are family farms still in play in England. So if
mm-hmm.
you think about the, what do they call, corporate farming that
mm-hmm.
we do, for instance, in the United States, I think there must be many more circles in the United States, let's just take us as an example, where
mm-hmm.
the circles are discovered at harvest because they're automated fertilizing and, you know, tending systems where
mm-hmm.
in England the farmers are in their fields.
Mm-hmm.
They're smaller fields. They
mm-hmm.
These things get found, and I'm sure there are many of them in the United States that are not discovered until the harvest is going on, and then they're plowed up, you know, then nobody ever finds out about them.
Well, it's like having a small canvas, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Upon which to do your painting. Okay.
Well,
that, see, that makes good common sense to me. But what about places like France or Germany, who also have many planes crossing over?
Well, you know, who knows?
Or Spain.
They picked a good landscape. You know, but there are other characteristics. There's an aquifer that runs under the area where the circles predominate.
Oh, really?
Yes, I don't want to say the soil, but whatever the composition is in that area is pretty much limestone. That's why those white horses exist.
Right.
Where
scraped off the surface.
They've scraped off the surface, and then there's limestone that's white right underneath the surface of the plants. Well, limestone is a good conductor of electromagnetism, and there is this aquifer. And electromagnetic forces seem to have some play in the formation of crop circles. You know, so as I said, there's a whole kind of host of speculative things that, you know, we think about when we wonder why England, why this area. But yeah, as I said, my film, which is What on Earth, Inside the Crop Circle Mystery is our tagline. And whatonearththemovie.com is our...
Go ahead. Yeah, give me information.
Line. But you'll find
give the information so they can, you know, pick up the DVD because it's really fabulous, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you'll find, you know, we go on about this. That's one of the things we deal with. Why England? And you know, there are.
Yes.
I've only given you, you know, a few of the. Well, some.
Which
of
makes
them.
Good sense, you know.
Yeah.
And I also think English are pretty open people, too, and they are not so likely to hide things. The more
well,
likely
I don't know
to take
about
something
that,
and
Phyllis.
Examine it.
Well, I don't know about that. I would tell you that England is indifferent, not so much open as indifferent. And when the crop circle people gossip, we think, you know, one of the reasons they may be in England, we're back to one of the reasons, one of the reasons they may be in England is that the English sort of, by and large, don't pay attention to them. And if they were somewhere, like in the States, for instance, where we are curious, and in fact, when one does appear, the local press goes crazy. And it never makes the national press, but the local press goes nuts. And people get out and they trample them. Well, if people turned out in hordes every time there was a new crop circle and trampled them, which they don't do because they're so indifferent to them in England, then, you know, they come from all over the world as tourists to see them, but the English, by and large, ignore them. Well, they would get trampled to death before the people who study them and who, you know, really need them to be somewhat fresh when they deal with them. They wouldn't get a chance to do that. So England's a perfect place from that point of view.
Well, wouldn't that same blasé be true in France or Germany or Spain?
Who knows?
Do you think?
Who knows? I mean, I know England. Because
but they do have them there, don't they?
France, I think, has only had one. Spain
really?
Has only had a smatter. Italy gets a bunch. Interestingly enough, they were not getting any until some Italians came over and got real turned on by the circles, came to England as tourists, and went back and created some public crop circle events in Italy, and all of a sudden Italy started getting them, which pulls us into another category, which is this strange responsiveness that the circles have to interest. It's like they're sort of reading our minds. They're not forcing us in places where we're uninterested. And in fact, historically, we've had little flurries of crop circles going back hundreds of years, and not enough interest developed, and then the little flurry went away. But this time, in England, for instance, the interest has maintained, and that's, quote-unquote, why we have this ongoing phenomenon. But there we had Italy as an example of when interest gets expressed, the crop circles deliver. I was almost a little afraid to put that in the movie because it sounded woo-woo that the crop circles are reading our minds, so to speak. But it is bizarre how much of that occurs. And again, in the movie, we're giving you some very dramatic examples of thought process producing crop circles.
Well, we had, and I find that absolutely fascinating. Yes, crop circles have been with us through the centuries, but not much was made of them. Or it was a 10-day wonder.
Yeah, these little flurries of interest, and you can read it in whatever the local press of the day was, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first one was a pamphlet in 1678, which clearly is giving you a story and an illustration, a woodcut of a crop circle. But those were just, you know, they were the flurries, and
mm-hmm.
interest was not sustained. You know, there was like, what's that, blah, 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 and then it kind of went away. There wasn't an ongoing investigation. There weren't people going out and finding them and what have you. And they went away again. And it was only when consistent interest was expressed that they, you know, kept coming and elaborating. And, you know, now we have a full-blown phenomenon for the first time.
Well, it started moving away from why they're there. Some of the, and we talked about this and touched on the symbolism that's contained in these particular designs. And a lot of them seem to be motifs that have shown up in cultures from ancient times. Some are Chinese, some are Persian, some are Native American, some are adaptable, but they are design. In India, they're design forms that we have seen in ancient cultures.
Absolutely.
Is that not correct?
That is correct. And again, you'd say, well, what's that about? Well, why? And again, you're into speculation, what's going on. My opinion is that we are being bombarded with recognition, intelligence. It's not accidental. It's not weather. It's not some random natural phenomenon. There's a very careful selection of material of all kinds, geometric, symbolic, what have you, that keeps saying to us, we read you, we are intelligent, we are,
mm-hmm.
you know, hello, recognize that you are being seen. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, sometimes people frequently will say, well, what's the puzzle? Like, if you can translate the language, you'll get the message. Well, I think the message is that there is intelligence communicating with us. There isn't any overarching message that when we, you know, get our cryptogram reality out or translate the hieroglyphics, we'll get it. No, I think the getting it is to see that intelligence is communicating with us, and it's not us. I think
mm-hmm.
that's the overarching purpose of the circle makers, whomever or wherever they may be.
Well, there are also forms of pictograms, which send signals. For example, and I'm just popping into my head now, so forgive me if I'm coming off the top of my pointed head.
Mm-hmm.
During the Civil War, when there were so many slaves leaving, that they would have certain hieroglyphics that only other slaves would understand. They're pictograms. And would even use quilts as this to show directions to certain places. And certain signs and symbols had assigned meanings that could only be read by those who were of the same culture.
Oh, that's
and,
interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know
you
that.
Didn't know that? Oh,
no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the form of pictographs used by the South Americans and by the Egyptians. And some other cultures that were quote-unquote primitive but sophisticated at the same time. And I'm thinking of the yin-yang circle that has been produced as the full circle and the meanings that we have ascribed to certain symbols in many cultures that are handed down through the ages, like a star refers to a heaven or a flower and
so
the shape
of
the petal.
What do you make of that in terms of what
well,
the circle makers are
for example,
are
a circle,
doing?
The yin and yang is we're all one, and yin and yang is male and female, which means
mm-hmm.
The universal symbol of the source of all that is,
oh,
of
yes,
the creative
I think
source.
Yes, I think they are kind of pointing us to things we should be aware of.
Yes.
In fact, we mentioned in the film that the Hopis took a look
mm-hmm.
at what was coming in. And their translation or interpretation was that we would be being given warning signs. Now, that was stuff that they could read into them, warning
mm-hmm.
signs, warning about how misguided we were and that, you know, we better wake up and, you know,
mm-hmm.
change our perspectives. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think you definitely could have that could interpret that as an element of what they're sending us. They're sending us things to pay attention to.
And things that are from old cultures that were hand-me-downs, but not in a negative sense, but that are passed through from earlier history days when we didn't have a written language. So pictures were full of, as the saying goes, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Uh-huh.
So this picture means to convey a lot more than what we're getting out of it, apparently.
I think that is one thing that does seem to make sense, yeah.
And the other thing is they call it a downloading of information at one time, and I would guess that's just another way of saying the same thing.
Well, it is amazing, actually, how much information is encoded in these things that the casual observer would never know. Now, you might be able to read a particular symbol, like the yin-yang, mm-hmm. which is familiar to all of us, but, you know, it always just fascinates me as the mm-hmm. circles come in, and we have one website that tracks them as they come in and gives each one a page where people mm-hmm. then contribute what they perceive and what they have analyzed. And some of them are just mind-blowing. People mm-hmm. from all different disciplines, history and philosophy and science and mathematics, mm-hmm. and things that, you know, as just an observer, we would say, oh, that's pretty, or I see, you know, a symbol there. But mm-hmm. all these very, very complex encoded pieces of information are perceived by people in the fields that recognize them, you know. And that is, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just startling how much is contained in these things. And again, going back to my belief that mm-hmm. we are being bombarded with intelligent communications so that we get it, that there is another intelligence engaging with us. But it is also mm-hmm. fascinating to read. The site, by the way, is cropcircleconnector.com.
Okay.
And
okay.
even now, you, even though the circles have, you know, are over for this year, you can go on that site and check into all the circles that came in this year and see, you know, what I'm talking about, these absolutely fascinating interpretive things that are going on.
May I ask, do they ever have any quote-unquote crop circles, and I use that term just as a subject matter here, into snow where there are in something that you can see, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, that is one, that is another element. Of course, they wouldn't be crop circles, except
no, but that's
why we name them. But yes, but patterns that do show the same kind of patterning, not quite mm-hmm. as complex and sophisticated, mm-hmm. But nevertheless complex enough to go, wait a minute, where'd that come from? In snow? Come on, or in ice? Come on,
mm-hmm.
where did that come
okay.
from?
So that has happened.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Where?
And you would as you know, those of us who are part of this world, we're getting mm-hmm. those communications all the time. Oh, another ice circle. I wouldn't know where to send you exactly for, but I bet if you Googled crop circles, mm-hmm. snow, ice, whatever, mm-hmm. you'd find those examples because they're not certainly nowhere near as many as the vegetation circles,
right.
But a decent amount of things have come in ice and snow and sand as well. Desert
sand. Oh, fabulous!
Yeah. Again, you'd have to Google for that sort of thing.
And the reason why I asked sand because I was thinking of Egypt, and I thought, well, how many large fields do you have in Egypt? We have all sand, but you have sand, but that would make sense too because then it's not just targeting Eastern European or Western Europeans; it's targeting the world is what you're saying.
But they've even less in sand than in ice and snow. But I do, there has been, you know, some activity there where you go, what's that, you know?
That's fabulous. So what intelligence do you think this is? Where do you think this is leading us to?
I hope it's leading us, again, the one, you know, overarching desire and hope is that attention will be paid to the research that's been done, the studies that have been done, the science that's been done on them, where there are changes to the plants and the soil that have been written up in scientific papers and have mm-hmm. been published in peer-reviewed science journals, the place mm-hmm. where we go for our reality, and yet nobody's paying attention. So were attention paid, you would have to reach the conclusion that another intelligence is engaging with us. And, you know, that's the supreme hope of all the people who are tuned into the circles, that the world will pay enough attention to realize there's something astonishing going on because of how impactful that can be to this unworkable world we're in.
Now, the other thing that we brought up, and you brought it up in your DVD, which I loved, is the quote-unquote great mystery solved, that there were these two guys who are, and shall we say, in their older ages, who claim to have done all the crop circles,
yes,
and science or the government or whomever produced them as saying, see, it was human hand that did it, and they've admitted to it, and now let's put this to bed and go to, let it go back to sleep again. These two guys, you did an interesting background check on them. Please explain that, too.
Well, we are still in a world where if people do know about the phenomenon, and we're still in a world where people don't even know it exists, but many people will say, when you bring up crop circles, what are you talking about? That got solved, you know, years ago.
Those That's what I mean.
I did them all, you know. And indeed, that was the press release that went out all over the world, a press release from two little farmer guys that went all over the world. A press release? Well, it did, and it made headlines all over the world because that phenomenon was of great interest prior to that press release going out. People were curious, just as they should have been. They were paying attention. There was press about it. Well, when that press release went out and made, you know, a certain amount of headlines, and you'll see them in our film, we show you some of the headlines in the newspapers and the stories that were written. So how odd that a press release went out. That's the first thing we paid attention to. And the researchers at the time tracked it down. Well, who was the PR agency that was sending out this press release? It had a name on the press release, except that name didn't exist. And then it had an address. And the address was the Ministry of Defense. So it was the Ministry of Defense in England that sent out that press release that really killed permanently worldwide interest in this subject. I think it's because it was so radical. It is so radical that we are being visited that, you know, it's very hard to embrace radical things. I mean, they put Galileo under house arrest when he said that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. We have a hard time with such, you know, destabilizing things to our current reality, whether it works or not. It's the one we've got, and we tend to resist changing it. Certainly the power structure resists changing it. So the fact that, you know, this story went out, it was like, oh, what a relief. We don't have to think about it anymore on the part of the world. It's done. It's solved. Next, you know, and that really, it's amazing how effective that piece of disinformation was. Because
well, the thing is, it's
never
didn't.
Been. Pardon me?
I don't think that it really killed interest. I think for a few people it was an explanation, but when you look at the vastness of it and other people saying they've gone into fields to do this, it just doesn't wash. I mean, it's just, I have a logical brain, I'd like to think, but two men who are, I don't, this is not a put down, who are not that terribly bright to be able to do forms which are so precisely mathematical and geometric in their design.
Exactly.
And
not,
on the
not so much that they weren't bright, Phyllis, I don't think, because I do think they had some intelligence. You know, they weren't dummies. But they
But
they didn't know anything about geometry.
Mathematical geometers. That's
no,
what I mean. They're
didn't
not
know
they
geometry.
Were not, they were not mathematical geniuses, and quite frankly, all of these crop circles, and let's go back to this too, the mathematical precision, the geometric measurements are so within millimeters, if not exactly on, perfect lines, perfect mathematical drawings.
And very sophisticated. Very, not only are they done well, but they are very sophisticated.
And you can't tell me without a lot of planning and foresight that somebody can do that in the dark of night in a few hours' time. It just, I know what it's like. I stumbled around in the dark, believe me. You can't do it. It's just not doable for the most
part. Well, the guys didn't have the knowledge base. They didn't know geometry.
Exactly.
One of the ways where you could spot the fakes in those years was
right.
How bad the geometry was, because the geometry is so sophisticated in the mysterious ones. In fact, we have pulled new geometric theorems from the crop circles. A guy named Gerald Hawkins, who was the head of the astronomy department at Boston University years ago, was very interested in the circles, and he did some amazing work on them. And he actually discovered new theorems that are in our geometry literature today that he got from the circles. And he also discovered some correlations to the geometric designs and music. And I'm not a music person, so I can't really elaborate on that, but that, too, is now part of the whole crop circle situation, where there is some musical correlation, because music apparently has a geometric basis to it also. I'm going to sound dumb now here because I don't really know what I'm talking about. But Gerald Hawkins did some body of work that's very highly regarded and still now is part of the whole the crop circle lore. So the fact that these guys didn't know geometry was the tip-off that, and then there were other circles that were coming in that were gorgeous, you know, that were beautiful geometry. So, I mean, maybe
and
all of
didn't
them.
Didn't they also say they only did this in this particular county or region of England?
That's the biggest joke of all in terms of the world buying this crazy story. The predominant county, there are two counties. The one that gets most crop circles is Wiltshire County, and then a secondary county is Hampshire. Well, they said, oh, no, we just made them in Hampshire. We didn't make them anywhere else. Well, that should have been the clue right away. Well, wait a minute. Where'd the ones in Wiltshire come from? But somehow, you know, everybody went brain dead and just bought this ridiculous story. Again, because I think it was, and we talk about it in the film, human nature, easier to park something that is so radical and not have to really deal with it. Oh, we have an answer. Good. It's a bad answer, but we'll take it, you know. So that seems to be what happened. And really, you said that it hasn't died. Well, of course it hasn't died. Here we are talking about it. I'm making movies about it. And there's a rabid community of enthusiasts who gather in England every summer and study it and take pictures of it and write books about it and blah, 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 et cetera. But as far as worldwide interest goes, which was so rampant before, quote, Doug and Dave, that people even remember their names, it just died after that. There was no more attention at that level after Doug and Dave.
Well, I think that's can be true said of UFOs, where there was such an interest, and then all of a sudden the military agencies of so many countries said, oh, well, we set up planes, or it was a balloon, a hot air balloon.
Weather balloons, right, that we weren't even invented at the time. I mean,
couldn't
they get a better story than that, for heaven's sake?
Well, they want to give an explanation. As you say, there are people who would rather be in their own comfort zone, and if they had to think about it, would think. But then again, if people think for themselves and then become too independent, and then you have an issue of control. So, you know, I'm not going to go into political conspiracies because I don't like going in there. You know, that's something that I just don't choose to think about. But, you know, if you can keep people from not thinking for themselves, you do, in essence, deny them the opportunity to become more individualistic and to become more creative and to be more productive in another way. Because once you have somebody who's very creative, intuitive, and self-generative, shall we speak, it's very much harder to control. And it's easier to control people who aren't thinking than who are thinking.
Well, that certainly sounds reasonable. But, you know, I just took it as a mission of mine after involvement with the phenomenon, interest in the phenomenon, producing some programs about the phenomenon. I just took it on as a sort of a mission that, okay, if I'm going to do anything with my life that's unique and valuable as opposed to all the, you know, lesser things that are certainly, they were wonderful, all the programs I did, I loved them all. But I said, wait a minute. I'm going to just take this as my overriding mission to bring the world this information. And I've been, you know, really focused on that very predominantly for some years now, that is the unique thing that I can serve the world with. And that's how I've made this film, What on Earth? And hopefully, my intention is that it really changes our perspective, that it gets out to the powers that be. They see it and they go, oh my goodness, we have to think this one through again.
Well, my ardent hope. I think it will. I think it already has. Why don't you give our listeners contact information where they can get this DVD and or your contact phone number, whatever you'd like to give at this point.
So you go to the website, which is whatonearththemovie.com. As I said, What on Earth is a clothing line. We couldn't get that one. So we added the movie, which is a popular way they do things these days. They mm-hmm. give the title and then they say the movie. So it's whatonearththemovie.com, and that's where you can buy the DVD. We're not, I'm purposefully not getting it on the mass audience kind of Netflix and Blockbuster and what have you, because I want to sell it to television. It's new. And once you get out in the public in a rental kind of situation, television is not so interested in running it. It has to be fresher. And I'm still sort of in the underground here, you know, in our community of thinkers outside the box. And so I'm kind of operating under the radar. But we're doing very well. We're doing very well under the radar. If you get on the website, you'll see all the accolades and the awards. I just got into a festival, in fact, that's going to be in Los Angeles and Hollywood on October 15th. And anybody could email me if you want. You'll get it from the website. It says, you know, contact, and it's me. But it's Suzanne at whatonearththemovie.com, and I'm Suzanne with a Z, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E. So if anybody just wants to hear this now and shoot me off an email for any purpose whatsoever, here
wonderful.
I am.
Wonderful. Well, I think that's fabulous. Are you planning on doing another book or getting more or another DVD? Or what is your next project in mind?
You know,
I know this
I'm not
is a big
a film-
one. But-
yeah, I'm not a filmmaker who found a subject. I'm a subject that looked for a filmmaker, and in fact, I'm the executive producer of the only other feature documentary ever made about the circles, which came out in 2002, called Crop Circles, Quest for Truth, and that had a theatrical run. It was in theaters, and then it was on the Sci-Fi Channel for 3 years. But I was not the filmmaker on that one. I was the producer. I was the one that kind of put the elements together, and then the filmmaker made the film he wanted to make. And it really wasn't the film I wanted to make, or there was another film to be made, which is the one I've made. And you can get the other one on my website as well. But you know, my real enthusiasm is for this one now, because I think, you know, this is the passionate one. The reason we tagged it, we put our tagline inside the crop circle mystery, is because I'm in that world and I'm taking you in with me, as opposed to observing it from the outside, which is where all the other programs come from. The cable stations, every few years make a new crop circle documentary that they run for a few years, but they're all peering in from outside and they're all fascinated by hoaxers and what have you. And I'm really on the inside, really bringing you the elements and the guts and the reality and the enthusiasm of people who have really given their lives to this. They've left careers in all kinds of you know, professions, and have become ardent crop circle enthusiasts who write the books and do the research and do the science on them. And I wanted to bring you that level of excitement. I'm thinking that will, you know, when you, emotional excitement is what kind of changes minds or lands or really
it's what,
really
it,
makes
which
a difference.
Brings it
you know?
To the fore. Yes, I think so. That's part of the creative process. Without the emotion, you have something that's really not alive.
Right. Actually, the first film goes into a lot more of the science. I wasn't trying to prove anything in this film. I was just making you enthusiastic enough to really pay attention, and then you can find all the proof. The first film is taking you more into the kinds of things that, you know, are the authentications and the, you know, data, so to speak. The film, first film is more data, and this film is more passion.
Okay. Now, are you working on anything else at this time, or?
Oh, I'll tell you, getting this film out is a full-time job for a team of people, and I'm sort of one person. I've got other people, and I'm actually looking to hire people now and to build up my team, because there's just so much to do, in, because the film is very well received. You know, we got an award. The first time I showed the film was early this year to the UFO Congress. That's the biggest UFO event, week-long event. And they gave me their, they have a film festival along with their gathering, and they gave me the award for 2009 Best Feature Documentary. Fortunately, the UFO people think of crop circles in their purview. I don't particularly think of UFOs as what I'm up to, but I'm very happy that they include us, because there's a huge audience there and great support there and awards to be won, and I'll take it all, you know. I'm very happy to have it all. Well, we're actually about to do, Phyllis, you're going to be inundated, I hope, with a huge internet blitz that we're about to do. I'm studying with a mentor who is absolutely the best person for marketing documentary films, particularly ones that have a large niche audience. And again, my niche is, you know that UFO, quote-unquote UFO, is the second largest audience on the net? Do you know that?
No, I did not. I've seen a few UFOs in my lifetime. I'd love to see some crop circles myself.
Well, that's
second
largest interest group on the net, and that's who I'm going to be marketing to. And you, there's going to be a huge blitz. We're going to have an official DVD release. So now you're getting in behind the, you know, behind the official release. But we're having an official release on November 16th if I make my deadline. And you will read a lot about this in our world. It will be
wonderful. I am so
flooding
excited.
Our world.
I think this is, it's about time too.
And in fact,
you know,
if any of your listeners have any kind of material, I'm going to be giving, I'm collecting bonus material to sweeten the blitz, you know, and electronic bonus material, things you can link people to and give people. And if any of your listeners have anything like that that I could include as bonus material, please, you know, have them get in touch with me. I'm putting that together right now.
Absolutely. I would encourage them to do so. I was very impressed. And as I mentioned to you, I had someone else, Fred, with me, who happened to be spending the day with me, watch the DVD with me, and she was most impressed with it. And we've spoken to a few other people, and I'm still the proponent of the word of mouth is a phenomenal way of passing information along.
Well, in fact, we are doing fabulously well, as well is considered to be. I'm just looking to go into the mega fabulously well with this blitz, but we really are doing very well. We you know, there's lots of buzz, and in fact, we're, you know, through the website, we're selling a lot of DVDs. And by the way, the DVD has an hour of bonus material on it also, which I like as much as I like the film. Fascinating extras that we've put in there.
I do. I think that too. And we enjoyed it very much. Some of what I'm thinking is that there is going to be an increase. Has there been noticed an increase in activity lately
in
the crop circle?
Well, I don't know about increase in the crop circle so much. Well, the way I would respond to that is that this year there were very unusual formations, things that were different from what we'd seen before in many instances, although that is a characteristic of the phenomenon. It keeps introducing kind of new pattern groups. So it introduced big time some new pattern groups this year. Again, you can see them all on cropcircleconnector.com. But what there has been an escalation of is interest in this whole being visited sort of thing, which, you know, extends into the UFO world. And we deal with that a bit in the film. We show you how the interest is escalating, and it seems perhaps to be in some conjunction with this approach of 2012, which has so many people, you know, mesmerized by what's going to happen in 2012. We talk about that a little in the film also.
Right.
But there's definitely...
Yeah,
you know, you look at Larry King, for instance. He frequently is hosting people who have UFO tales to tell, very credible people, military people, government people, or I should probably say ex-military and ex-government, who are free to talk now, and people who really were not allowed to talk before. And, you know, here a mainstream television show like Larry King is frequently doing those programs. Well, you know, you just get a smell that, wait a minute, there's an escalation going on. We're being,
you know, more and more open.
Yeah, more and more. And then the several, many of the governments of the world have released their long classified information. Britain has done it, France, Brazil, mm-hmm. Italy, Spain. I mean, every day mm-hmm. you're reading some new country is releasing mm-hmm. their classified information. And there's a big push to get us to do it as well. In fact, my film was the only film shown at the X conference this spring back in Washington, D.C., and those mm-hmm. are the guys in the suits who are trying to engage with Congress and the president and what have you and trying to get disclosure of our classified UFO information.
Well, I think that's absolutely fabulous. I was going to say, the next time you come to D.C., let me know, and we will meet.
Oh, well,
because
all right.
I'd love to see you in person and, you know,
make an event for me, Phyllis. Make something happen for me. I go where the interest is. I'm like the circles. I go where the interest is.
But if you have that, just let me know, and I'll be coming and hold my little sign in your behalf, Matt, because I am thoroughly convinced this is a true phenomena that is communication of a form. And since, you know, we have so many languages here on this earth, isn't it common sense that pictures or geometric designs, which are a symbolism which is common to all cultures, would
yeah.
be utilized, something that is a quote-unquote common language
yep, indeed.
That is used.
Indeed.
Right? I mean,
yes,
if anybody in any culture sees a picture of a dog, they darn well know it's a dog.
Well,
it's a different name in each language, but they know it's that particular animal. So,
well, if you go beyond our earthly embodiment here, where we have people
mm-hmm.
and dogs, and you go to
mm-hmm.
who knows what the creatures might
mm-hmm.
look like.
Exactly.
But they all will recognize mathematics because that is the universal
exactly,
language.
Exactly, because that's in the universe. That's a universal, literally, the universe is created on a basis of mathematical measurements.
And in particular,
and so
sacred geometry, which is so no accident.
Yes.
Circles are mostly expressing themselves in sacred geometry. That's the building block of the universe. We talk about
mm-hmm.
that.
As are squares
also.
And triangles, you know. Mm. Partially. And so we are working with a universal language here, an intergalactic universal language, shall we say,
yep.
and one that speaks to all of us. So even those of us who are math impaired understand that.
Yes, yes. Yes, well, we know intellectually that that is the way the universe is put together. Whether we could put it together ourselves or not is another thing.
Well, we are coming to the witching hour. It's been a delight. Anything else that you would like to say before we have to get off because I'd love to hear some more about it. And perhaps you can come back another time with some more stories.
Oh, honey, anytime. I'm very happy to do that. You know, my closing thought would be to encourage everyone in the world to be open-minded. That's all. Just allow new information to come in, particularly, obviously, this new information,
mm-hmm.
rather than have a preconceived conclusion and opinion that, you know, it's nonsense or it's not worth paying attention to. Well, if after curiosity you discover it's nonsense, so be it. But be open. You know, we're in
mm-hmm.
such trouble in the world, and we're foolish not to open ourselves to anything that might indeed give us any solutions. There's no harm done by curiosity
mm-hmm.
and interest and attention. And that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of always my closing plea to get off this kind of opinionated, negative, you know, sarcastic kind of way in which we treat things that are really
different.
A challenge to our
mm-hmm.
imagination. And just be curious, be open, and, you know, who knows, but that world salvation could come in.
Well, yes, and this is, I think, one of the vehicles for which it could be utilized. I was going to say, you talked about these circles maybe being electromagnetic in
yep.
the forces. Well, they're beginning to use electromagnetic or sound waves in working in surgery and healing the body now, which is phenomenal. Because
well,
look
our
at
universe
this.
Is all electromagnetism.
Isn't
you
it?
Know, again, just it's all
yes.
geometry. It's electromagnetism is our biggest force out there. But don't ask me to go too deeply into that either.
Well, don't ask me because I'm not a scientist. And
okay.
You quickly
okay.
find out how lacking in knowledge I am.
Yeah,
but
really.
Anyway, thank you so very much, Suzanne Taylor. Again, I am delighted to have had you on the show. I'm serious. Let me know if you're back in D.C. I would love to meet with you personally. And for all of you out there, thank you so much for listening. And we've had a wonderful time. If you have any questions or you want to see the DVD, she gave you the contact information. Real quickly, once again, Suzanne.
OneOnEarthTheMovie.com, right. That's the essential piece of information, right?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. God bless you. Have a good day, and we'll see you all again next week, or hear you all again next week on A Higher Dimension. I'm Phyllis Pryor, your hostess. Goodbye.